The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a conversation with a Gen Z TikTok YouTube star. Gabe Poirot joins us for the full hour of how to reach the next generation with conservative values and for Christ. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. As always, you can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Very special guest for the full hour, Gabe Poirot. I said that right?
Miraculously, you did, sir.
It's amazing. Honored to have you here. Now, I'm a millennial, and I don't know if you know this, but millennials have been the most hated generation until Gen Z came along.
Until, yep, we stole your spot there.
Now, I am not I'm a younger millennial, born in 93. What year were you born?
2000.
2000?
Yes, sir.
I remember the year 2000. It was a great kindergarten year. So Gabe is a big deal on YouTube.com and TikTok. Also, proud Christian. You have a devotional, tons to talk about. Want to explore a lot of different themes here, but first, introduce yourself to our audience as our Gen Z Svengali.
Yeah. So I'm just honestly, as much as this show would want to present me as something special, I'm just an everyday guy. I got laid off from my job 3 years ago when COVID hit. I was all at home and at the apartment, and I realized that my generation was lost and dying, and that the church was stuck being silent, and that in order to reach my generation, I needed to get on my phone and get on social media and start speaking truth, not just about Bible scriptures, but actually what's going on around us.
Yeah, so how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, so 3 years. So ever since March of 2020.
So you started during COVID,
yes.
During the lockdowns,
yes.
And what platform did you gravitate towards?
Yeah, so it's actually funny. I started out on our favorite Chinese communist app, of which I know is your favorite. So
yeah, I don't understand. We're going to talk about that. So you started on
TikTok, yes.
Yeah.
So started on TikTok, transitioned more towards YouTube, and now just doing both.
So when you first started using TikTok, were you mostly a consumer first, or were you a creator right out of the gate?
Yeah. So I was actually only a creator right out of the gate.
Oh wow.
I was okay. Never a TikTok fan. I thought it was always very stupid. Would make fun of everyone who was hooked on it.
Same.
But until it was actually funny. I was sitting down with my friends. One of which, you know, Titus L. Smith.
Yeah, and, very talented young man.
And he told me, I was telling him my great vision of how to help the next generation and, you know, how to really bring truth. And he was like, Gabe, that's great. Why aren't you on social media? And so that really was one of the tips, and just felt led to start on that space.
So you looked at TikTok as missional work.
Yeah,
basically,
honestly.
Right? And so, I mean, I think TikTok should be banned. It's digital heroin. But as long as it is here, we should try to influence on it.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't make any mystery, in my opinion, that it's somehow good for society or humanity. It's not. But you're effective on it.
Sure. I think it's also, I just want to touch on this. I think it's not a coincidence that the same year that there just so happened to be a certain thing going around in the government.
A bioweapon from Wuhan?
Yes, if you to say specifically. Didn't know if we were allowed to say that keyword. But no, that the same year that just so happens, there just so happens to be an app from China of which everyone's eyes are glued upon. And at the time, the algorithm at that time was not throwing out educational videos on how to be a lawyer. It was booties in the air and emasculating the next generation of our country.
So, right. And very few people were
willing to speak out for virtue and for order, especially in 2020. Yeah. So you got popular on TikTok. I found out about you on YouTube, though,
sure.
which is a much more civilized platform. And not that YouTube is great. I prefer Rumble.com. But you're very popular on YouTube. 2 million subs, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a significant number. So your goal, as you put it, is to bring Christ to Generation Z. Is that a fair way?
Yeah. I want to take off the masks of our eyes, and so that we could understand the world around us through the lens of our original creator, which is Jesus and God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit.
So we're at a place now where, let's just talk about your generation. I can now say this. This is so strange. Your generation.
It's funny hearing it from you.
Yeah, because it's millennials are, we have received so much snarkiness and attacks and condemnation. Finally, a generation that we can attack. So Generation Z is the least religious generation yeah. in history. Is that, what? Why do you think that is?
I'll say a couple things. That Generation Z is crying out for authenticity, and they're crying out for some place of power. And as much as I want to sit here and say that we as the Church of America have done a fabulous job of always innovating and adapting to what is really needed for people's lives, the truth is that we haven't. And that also being said, we have been so indoctrinated and manipulated into believing that we are free thinkers, that we really are just exalting ourselves as God. And that's really what I believe is the cause of this next generation being so, you could say, not Christian, and so going in different directions. They're seeking a place of power. They're seeking someone who can answer their questions, and the church hasn't answered the questions yeah. like we should have.
Why do you think the church has failed that so miserably?
I think we've been I think we've been afraid of people's opinion way too much. I think too many pastors are thinking about their boards and their tithe money and their spheres of influence. I think they're also abdicating the opportunities to actually influence places of power. They're saying, oh, the schools, yeah, we'll let the government take that. Media, no, we don't need to get on media. We'll just preach in pulpits on Sundays. Right. We've abdicated all these places because we've thought, oh yeah, well, this is just religion. This is just like 1/7 of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've failed. We've been too known as a church of no's instead of the church that actually provides the truth that will keep you from the no's. What I mean when I say that is telling a kid not to have sex before marriage. If you just tell him no all the time, it actually won't do what you're wanting. It'll just make him want to go and have sex. You got to say, teach about how amazing sex is in marriage and about how it's a God-given gift, right? My point is we can't just be the place that says no's. We need to show the whys. Mm-hmm. We need to show the yeses and how good the yeses are in Christ. And when you know that, you won't want to go after ludicrous perversions.
Did you go to government high school or were you?
Yeah, I actually went to a lovely 5A public liberal high school
okay.
in Virginia, actually.
In Virginia.
Yeah. And it was actually known. It was known as like one of the most liberal high schools. And it was a very interesting time, to say the least.
So were you a Christian at the time?
Yeah. So funny story. So my freshman year of high school, starting out, I was really dabbling in a lot of different areas, and I was kind of tired of church and of Christianity. But the winter of my freshman year, I made a decision. I actually encountered Jesus in my bedroom, which is a crazy story. I know many people out there are probably going to be like, what is going on with this guy? But I encountered Jesus in my bedroom, and I had a moment where I thought to myself, if I live up to all my personal dreams and just try to be like everyone else, what am I except of a copycat, of a cookie cutter? And I made the decision that night to really be committed to Jesus, not just to call him something, but to actually let him be my Lord, to actually be in the army of what he has wanting to get done. And so I made that decision. And I committed everything. I started up a Bible study, grew to more than 75 kids meeting in the auditorium. On the football team, we saw kids come to Christ. We actually saw some really cool miracles happen. We saw two deaf ears opened, which is really amazing. Yeah.
Healing.
Like no, healing. I'm serious. We tested it. Even for the atheists, they would have verified this, that they were there. Wow. But we had the guy who was just deaf. We communicated to him to hold a hand up when he heard the chair hit the table. And I waited just to make sure he wouldn't fake it. Waited, chair hits the table, hand goes up. The next day at a pep rally, hears music for the first time. I was sitting next to him, verified. So I know I say that, you know, just over an interview, but so we saw some real stuff happen.
No, it is the gifts of healing. You hear about that rarely, but it is, sure. It is the Christ gives a series of gifts of speaking of tongues, healing, and many others, all the gifts of the apostles in the book of Acts. So I want to keep diving into this really quick. Your social coordinates for people that might be listening that they can follow.
Yeah, so at @Gabe_Pirot, P-O-I-R-O-T.
And, you know, it's interesting. The Gen Z gets a lot of attention. I think there's more hope in Gen Z than people realize. Yeah. And, I mean, your content does extraordinarily well looking through your YouTube channel. Millions and millions of followers. How many followers do you have on TikTok? I think you have like 300 million views, right?
Yeah, on TikTok, yeah. We're at 400 million on TikTok views, followers 1.7.
That's got to be one of the top Christian pages out there, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
Who would come even close?
Well, here's the reason why I actually don't agree with what you're saying is every day I can't wake up thinking about what's been done in the past. I like waking up every day just...
Well, I'm just looking at numbers. Who else has a close TikTok following to you? That's Christian.
I don't know. I think Jacob Coyne, Talon Seaman. There's only a couple, though.
I never heard of these people.
Yeah.
But it's. Okay. I want to ask you about that. I find it interesting. Here's a guy with 400 million... likes, views, right on TikTok?
Views.
See, I don't understand these. See, I'm getting too old. And I'm wondering, like, has many of the Christian pastors reached out to you? Probably learned something from Gabe Pirot? Yes?
Yes.
That reminds me of Murder on the Orient Express. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Every day we hear about another familiar brand selling out their customers and going woke. Americans are sick and tired of having left-wing propaganda jammed into every product they consume. Woke mobile companies are no different. For years, they've been dumping millions into liberal causes, and we had to take it because you need a cell phone and probably thought there was no alternative. I've got news for you. There is, and I want you to make the switch today. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the leftist propaganda. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching very easy. Keep your phone, keep your number too. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Charlie. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Okay, so I want to zero in on something that financial. You encountered Jesus in your bedroom. I don't find this stuff weird at all. I think it's amazing. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, and I also want to just touch on this as well, because for anyone watching this right now who might be doubting whether like healing miracles actually happen, well,
of course they can.
Even happen. Breathing on this interview right now for anyone watching is a verified miracle, considering a year ago I was in a 2.5 week coma.
Wow.
And the hospital called in my parents asking for my last will.
What happened? How'd you get there?
We'll get into that. But before we get into that, let me just touch on your first question.
Sure.
Which was, how did I encounter Jesus? So I was actually watching a sermon by a pastor named Keith Moore, and just watched. He was talking about what it really means to love God. And I was just all alone in my bedroom, and he asked everyone to stand, and I stood at my feet. And as I was just praying to God, you know, just as we know love is real, we know peace is real, there was this overwhelming feeling inside of my heart that arose, of which I was just overcome by love. I was just overcome by the acknowledgement and enlightenment that a person, not just a person, but that the God of the universe would so care for me that he has a better plan for me than I think. And I actually remember having a hard time standing, and I actually just went to the ground. And it was like, people doubt this. People are like, you're just some weird, I don't know, like, crazy Christian. And yeah, because it really happened to me. It's like when you get in the pool, people say, why are you wet? You can't explain it. You just are. I encountered Jesus. For me, even breathing, having the life I have now, I thank God every day that he healed me.
So how'd you get a coma?
Yeah. So, you know, those boosted boards, those electric skateboards.
This is a Gen Z thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So they go as fast as you want them to go. And I was racing cars, and I was with my buddy and two of my friends. We were racing, and I just so happened to hit a little bump in the middle of the road with no helmet, flipped off the board, landed directly on my head, going about 25 miles per hour. And I just landed on my head so directly that no other part of my body was hurt. It was just my head. Entire skull in the back cracked, and I went to a natural coma. So instantly lost consciousness. And for the next, breathing once every 60 seconds, my lung failed. And the hospital and doctor say at that moment, the odds of me living were even slim, very slim. Just so happened, went into a, would then go on to a, around a 2.5 week coma. And they called in my parents. They said, where's his last will? Things were very dire. They even drilled into my head. I still have a scar in there, but they drilled into my head, blood gushing out of my ears. They were about to take out my throat. So if you know those advertisements where they're like anti-cigarettes, where they're like, hi, my name is...
Yeah, sure.
So that was about to be me. Anyways, 2.5 weeks in, the week of November 12th, I woke up and Jesus healed me. And I kid you not, I looked around and I said, why am I in a hospital right now? I was that healed. I was also out of consciousness. So that's why I said
so
that.
You woke up really with no bearings.
So yeah. So I woke up. What's crazy is actually when I initially woke up, it took a couple days to wake up. When I first like woke up, I had no memory. So people would be talking to me. All right, I had slight memory. But as my memory came flooding back, I ended up getting out of the bed, ended up walking, passing all the tests. And it was so, I was on the floor of where at 2 a.m. you'd hear the screamers. The ones who are about to die, like it was that floor. And they really were either counting me as going to die or be a mental vegetable. And none of the two ever happened. I ended up coming out of the hospital. They were going to send me to the therapy place where they like bathe you, wake you up, all that. No, ended up being completely fine. I remember when I first walked, they were like holding their arms around me, like thinking that they were going to have to like walk me. And I remember like shutting their hands away, like I got this. And it was, and I'll be showing the B-roll of that. For you guys. But yeah, it was a verified miracle and I'll never forget it.
Well, yeah, you'll never forget it. So you, the last thing you remember was skateboard, blitzboarding or whatever.
Skateboarding. Yeah.
And then hospital.
Yeah. So it, but here's the thing though. Just imagine like you're living in this moment right now, but imagine just waking up and seeing your parents crying in the room, looking at the calendar. It's 17 days past you were last like on the earth. Like imagine going to bed tonight and you wake up tomorrow morning and the date is September 5th. Imagine what goes through your mind knowing that you have missed out on 17 days of your life on earth. Like it's a very, very surreal feeling that,
well, you have catching up to do.
Correct.
I got to tell you, Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example, Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, and financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer. With Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Download the app now. Download the Public Square app now. You can also go to publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine, 100% behind him. Check it out today.
So, Gabe, you recently got married.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Why do you think Gen Z and or millennials are waiting so long to get married?
Yeah, well, firstly, we'll start out with 50% of marriages in America have ended in divorce. And so we're talking about a generation that isn't just gone through some rough family situations. We're talking about, and we're not even the first generation that has really struggled having consistent family structures. And so we're really paying the reverbs of a society that doesn't value family anymore. And I think in my generation, we've witnessed too many broken marriages. We've witnessed marriage being not a covenant, but instead just being this ideal or social construct that we can just throw away in our minds. And so I think that's one thing. I think also we're giving away the benefits of marriage without the cost. And so when you live in a culture like that, people say, well, why would I even pay the cost of marriage if I can just go sleep with the girl tonight, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's just...
Yeah, you probably hear that a lot.
It's a microwave society.
Yeah. So how do you convince a generation that is the most miserable, depressed, alcohol addicted, drug addicted, porn addicted generation to get married? That you're basically telling them to take responsibility.
Yeah. Well, I'd ask the same question I'd say to anyone that any of my generation that has $10,000, I would ask them if they carry it in their pocket or they take it to a bank account. What I mean when I say that is you so value your time that when you understand the collection of it, when you understand something that is valuable to you, you place it in a safe and secure place, right? You don't keep it in your pocket. You take it to the bank. And if you're wise, you invest it. Why? Because you don't give yourself away to just anything. Now, I would also ask why they value their own intricate body parts at a less value than the money that they make. I would ask, why would they value their own identity, their own time, their own personhood less than just cash money, right? Why are we giving ourselves away to just anyone and anything that is just willing to take us? And we think we are free. Like, here's my thing. We really have, in this enlightened woke agenda that has taken not just America, but the entire world, we really think that we are advanced as we have only become limited to our own desires. Anyone that has ever understood even the aspect of finances, you understand you only win when you are willing to pay short-term costs for the long-term investment. Mm-hmm. And it's even more so in life.
Yeah, delayed gratification. So
yes.
Christian pastors are unwilling to speak out about politics. Yeah. You have some very strong political views that obviously I agree with. What do you make of people that, like Andy Stanley or Levi Lusco or Judah Smith, or you know, the adulterer Carl Lentz, that don't speak out on politics? They're too cool for that.
Yeah. Well, I'll first say that there's been a couple things that have left the church, and one of those has been open discussion between times of accountability where people might actually disagree with you and bring you the truth that you need to hear. But instead, we've created a culture in these large ministries and churches where the boards and the close friends, the close-knit communities are not places of healthy environments. Instead, they're places where you get to kick anyone out that you don't like to hear. So I'll start out with that. But second of all, I'll just say that if we're all being honest with ourselves, there's times in our life where we have feared men more than we have feared God. And let me just tell everyone watching, right? You may not see the God of the heavens that created the very molecules that you are breathing under, but when you actually understand how amazing, not just amazing, but how awe-inspiring and powerful our God is, and when you start to fear him, when you start to respect him, you'll care more about what he thinks than people. And when you get to that place, you'll realize how stupid it is that we are more worried about tithe money or our board members or our attendance numbers than we are about getting the truth out. And let me end on this note. There once was a large group of churches that was very silent about politics, and they thought a man named Hitler wasn't a very big deal. Sure, he wanted to stir some stuff up, and sure, he wanted to rise up in his government and do some things, but that's not the church's job, Charlie. That's not the church's job to speak about a crazy man named Hitler. 20 years later, you have millions of Jews
dead. Yeah, but honestly, what is the... So what is the call for this next generation of pastors specifically?
The call for this next generation of pastors is to accept their admittance in the army of the Lord and finally give every mountain of influence into the hands of Jesus. If Jesus really is Lord, and be an example to the people, if Jesus is Lord with our sermons, with our influence, with our pulpit, we will teach our people how to implement their faith into every area of their life, including politics. Politics is not some separate word that is just for some special people. Politics is really involving in every area of our life. Mm-hmm. So if Jesus really does care about us, you know, when people came to Jesus, did he just say, oh, let me take you to the synagogue? No, he healed their body. He forgave them. He helped them with their families. He helped them with their friends. He helped them with their job and their careers. If Jesus is this person that we claim he is, then we better get involved in politics.
Yes, in the ecclesia, the public square we are called to contest in. And do you think that, so the Judah Smith type, right, or the Levi Lusco, or whoever, you know, these very weak heretical pastors are. They say you're going to lose young people. You know, for example, Andy Stanley says this. He says, we should never take a stand on anything that makes somebody leave the church. That's Andy Stanley.
It's funny he said that, and I won't get into calling out specific names, but I kind of love the fact that you do. Because
I do it all the time. And they never, by the way, they're a bunch of cowards. They're gutless wonders. They're spineless because they're afraid of me because I don't have to play by their silly fake rules. So I call them out. First Peter, they're fake pastors.
I think you love them. I think you love them enough to speak the truth.
No, I really, I mean, I guess I don't love their lies.
Yes.
And I like, they should go park cars or go run a coffee shop. Here's the thing. I don't love people that are in the ministry spewing lies. Yeah. So if you run a coffee shop, I'm not going to call you out on the Charlie Kirk show.
Yeah.
But if you're running a church, you are violating.
You're fraudulently representing who Jesus is.
It's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Do not carry the name of the Lord, right? It's not the word literally means. Anyway, so I don't mean to derail too much.
They could say the same thing to Jesus when he was calling out Pharisees and Sadducees, flipping tables, directly identifying them as the enemies of God. The same people that claim that God is their God, and the same people that so-called advertised the faith. They were the largest denomination at the time, yet they were the same ones that crucified Christ.
Yes, and so they would say, lose Gen Zers if we talk about these things. That you've probably heard this before, right? I mean, they would say that we will lose young people if we say that homosexuality is a sin.
Sure. Will you lose them, or actually, would you gain?
I'm playing devil's advocate.
No, sure. Will you lose them, or would you gain an audience that actually so respects your confidence? I mean, we look at reasons.
That's exactly right.
We look at reasons why people like Andrew Tate have blown up, and you can say, oh, just this. He worked this way, or he did this system.
Not a defense of his conduct.
Yeah. However, I am not defending Andrew Tate right now.
We talk favorably about what he has to say all the time. So you're fine.
Okay. So anyways, my point is though, but you do need to ask the question, why have millions of young men and women, but all over the world so cling to what he was saying is because he was confident and he wasn't afraid to talk about many things that people were going through. I only say that to say people respect someone that is confident and is willing to commit to something. And that shows authenticity. Even if they disagree with you, if you will still be authentic, then people will at least hear you out more than ever before.
So yeah, you say that the Gen Z is seeking out authenticity.
Yeah.
So what does that look like?
Well, I'll say some of the evidence of that. We've actually recently, there was a study put out that the highest amount of high school guys are now Republican.
Yes,
liberal,
that's correct. Praise
of
God.
Which I think Turning Point USA has a part to be complimented in that. But
thank you.
My point here is that there is really a cry for people who will speak the truth. And when it comes to, are we going to lose Gen Z? Are you going to lose them, or have you already lost them according to the logic you've been using?
Yes.
So
that's what I agree. I mean, so seeker sensitive Christianity is a thing, and so they've been running the church for 30 years. And we are the least religious we've ever been. We take Christianity the least seriously. So how's that seeker-sensitive stuff working for you?
That's what I'm saying. And also, even if they were to somehow keep an audience, what are you keeping an audience for? Because last I checked, you wouldn't be keeping an audience for a Jesus that is Lord, that you've abdicated and you've been so afraid to talk about stuff. So even if you do keep millions, what are you keeping millions for? Your own doughboy Christianity?
Yeah,
like
exactly, for their tithes and offerings. And no, I want to compliment you. Most young Christian influencers are just nauseating, and just they really don't get it. And they're like, well, we have to frame that we actually love the trans. It's like, I'm just so done with all that. And so, I mean, it's refreshing for someone that actually wants to reach the next generation with truth.
Yeah, I would say, I would actually throw in a little bit of a nuance to that. I would say I love trans people enough to not let them walk off the cliff that leads them to their death. And I really believe that we as the church should not be at the place where we just tap out of everything and just say, oh, whatever. But instead, we need to genuinely show the real love, which is one that isn't willing to compromise the truth in the name of a fake redefined love and acceptance.
That's right.
So I really think what you're getting at, Charlie, is you're tired of people perverting the truth. You're tired of people making good bad and bad good.
Yeah, as it says in the scriptures, man will do right in his own eyes. Actually says that in Romans 1, that they will call bad good and good bad. And I mean, I'm not really in the church world. I mean, I kind of go in and out.
Sure.
I see enough, but I do not see a church that is willing to contest for the culture largely. I see a retreat. Is that, you're more in that space than I am. Is that fair to say right now?
I would say, I'm guessing you're speaking broadly.
Yeah, macro.
Of course, because I know there are some micro churches.
No, I mean, I can name 100 good ones what we're doing at TPUSA Faith. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, broadly not.
Oh, broadly, it is not just that. I mean, broadly, the church has been struggling and, you know, they've abdicated and they've compromised so much, and they're still, numbers are still declining and places of influence are still declining. And so I think it really just goes to show how when we really understand the real love that God has for us, we won't be afraid to pluck off the leaves and correct ourselves. Because let me tell you what's a lot better than the judgment we will pay sitting before the throne of God is the judgment we need to give ourselves now. Is the correction we need to give ourselves now. And so to any church or pastor or Christian out there just watching this, we do need to love like never before. We need to love God's way, and we need to love with the truth, and we need to not be afraid to stand on his side.
Amen. Tell us about your book.
Yeah. So as I look across friends my age, a little bit older and even younger, we're witnessing a generation that doesn't know who they are anymore, that is crying out. And that's why we've seen the highest percentage. I think now 25% of Generation Z is in the LGBTQ. And it's because...
Yeah, it's the gayest generation ever.
It's because people are hurting and broken, and the Alphabet Mafia is instantly there to take them up and instantly there to give them an identity. Mm-hmm. That obviously isn't truthful, but it is of manipulating. And so this message titled Built Different, 90 Days to Becoming All God Wants You to Be, is a 90-day devotional to really solidify your identity. And I know like you're probably maybe might be a Christian or already Christian, but it really solidifies who God has made you to be, the DNA he has laid out for you, and the plan that he has for our lives, and how to discipline ourselves to get the job done, how to walk in your career, how to hear his voice, how to see yourself, and how to find the right person. I recently got married, and I'm thankful God gave me some tips on how to find that right person. So just a bunch of your questions as a young person you're asking yourself right now, you need this devotional or get into the hands of
what,
a young person.
What is your favorite book of the Bible?
Yeah, I would say Ephesians.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Paul's letter to Ephesus.
Ephesians.
Why do you like that so much?
It has one of the two most powerful prayers you could pray. Okay. I dare you, Charlie.
Dare me.
30 days.
Greta Thunberg. He is Gen Z. I'm kidding.
I dare you for 30 days. Sorry, I'm just having to handle the fact that you just
Ephesians
associated
5.
Me with Greta. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21,
okay.
And Ephesians chapter 3, 15 to 21. And everyone watching, if you will pray that prayer every day for 30 days, you will witness some of the most amazing revelations from just reading the Bible than ever before.
Isn't the armor of God in Ephesians, I'm not mistaken?
It is, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Ephesians 5.
Yeah,
I believe so.
It's a great book. I've we have a lot of guests. I usually ask, I almost never get Ephesians. That's beautiful.
Guess you don't have any Christian. No, I'm joking.
We get other books too.
I'm totally joking.
Yes. So talk about the blessing of the daily reading of Scripture and what that's meant for your life.
Yeah. So it's funny, actually. Scientists have studied this, that those who read their Bible at least 4 times a week have been found to be more peaceful, joyful, less stressed, less in anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
They're more figured out. They're more rooted. And the reason is because the Bible is the only book that is a mirror back at yourself.
That's right.
Where you will finally find yourself as you find God. Even we've seen amazing guys like Jordan Peterson touch on this in his Genesis Exodus. But it's the only objective truth that the world will only have. It's the only thing that will always stand with us after everything else passes away. And you couldn't do anything more important than put yourself into that objective truth.
That's beautiful. So for people out there that are not Christians or have gone away from the church, what is your message to them?
Yeah, I would just say, how about you give Jesus an opportunity? How about you just sit back and what do you have to lose? You've tried everything else. You've gone after every other opportunity. You've listened to everyone else. How about you just sit back and give Jesus not just a chance, but why don't you just give him a yes? Why don't you just accept this opportunity and just understand how amazing he is, how good he is, and how he changes everything. And he's found in life himself. And why not? What's holding you back? Why not just doubt the doubt you have? Call its bluff.
Are you going to be encouraging Christians to get involved in the political process this next election?
Oh, to say the least. And that's starting out with, I'm so surprised to know most Christians aren't even registered to vote.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I'm not even here to tell you. I shouldn't have to spell out who to vote for. Like, if you
don't vote for Democrats.
No, but like, if you'll really hear the heart of Father God, like, we shouldn't even be having to spell it out for you guys. You guys should be already with it. Now we will, because people need it. But you get what I'm saying, though. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, if you dive into the Word of God yourself, you will be just like us. You will be preaching the truth everywhere you go, whether you're a preacher or not. Whatever you're doing in your career or path or education, you will be committed to loving God and loving people through truth.
Amen. Gabe Poirot, your book is Built Different. Is that right?
Yes. Available Barnes & Noble, Amazon, everywhere.
Doing a wonderful job. Thank really you, appreciate it. And, you know, you look at the Gen Z group. Just think this. Do you want your grandson, you, if you're in Gen Z, to be influenced by Dylan Mulvaney or from Gabe Poirot? How many followers does Dylan Mulvaney have?
A lot. Too many.
I don't know. How many is it? Is it like tens of millions?
Definitely millions. Yeah. Definitely in the millions. Yeah. As much as I want to say I watch them every day, I can't give you an answer.
Yeah. So email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Gabe, appreciate you, man. Great work. And we'll be doing some stuff together. Everybody, there is hope for Generation Z. And again, it's Gabe Poirot. Check out his book, Built Different. God bless you guys and see you tomorrow.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.